This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm here, and I've been thinking that something that we cover in, on the shows may just spark a level of anxiousness inside of you to realize, hey, you need to do things that you've been putting off. Take an important next step for yourself and enter that idea that you have on your to-do list. Hey, thanks for making the podcast your personal networking resource. You know, it keeps me motivated to bring you some of the best content in audio and video form available throughout the entire aftermarket. Love to do what I do for you. Everyone needs ego to start something new, and ego and self-confidence work hand in hand. But if you're not careful, ego can run rampant and stifle both your personal and professional growth. As a business owner, what are you trying to build? Are you hiring the right people and letting them grow? Or has your ego become a roadblock to your success? Thanks to our partners, Napa, for providing this episode. Napa Auto Care is proud to partner with nearly 17,000 independent repair facilities with the goal to help members sell more needed repairs. It's no wonder Napa Auto Care is the largest banner program. And if you'd like to learn more, hey, speak to your Napa representative today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I am honored for, guess what, Chris, for the 26th time, to welcome Chris Cloutier to the
26
show.
26 times? It, really?
Yes. Just before we got on, I decided to do the count.
Carm, it feels like the first time.
It does. You know why? We seem to just have a great way to talk about stuff with each other. I've always felt that I'm trying to get to the caliber of you. And when I talk to you, I get better.
I appreciate that,
Carm. I'm always learning from you. Yeah, Chris and I were kind of collaborating in the last couple of weeks. You know, we could talk about this, we could talk about this. One of the things that I find that's a problem inside of our industry, Chris, and this is what we're going to talk about today, is getting out of our own way sometimes. You never want to be shown somehow that you don't know something, especially if your ego gets in the way. And so you probably run into people all the time. Oh, by the way, Chris, Golden Rule Auto Care, he and his brother, a couple of locations. Is still just two, Chris?
Just two, yes, right now.
Probably enough right now. And of course, the CEO of Autotext.me, a great, great company. Autotext.me, that's the website, that's everything you got. It's DVI, texting, customer intimacy. And by the way, Chris's lineage is high tech, besides being a rock and roll guitarist, right? He can't sit still if he's not creating something that's going to help the industry. And I'll only tease you by going back to listen to Chris on Matt Fonslow's podcast when you guys were just hammering at stuff, and all of a sudden it leaked out that you were working on something so cool. And I'm sitting here waiting to the day that you kind of release it. But thank you for doing that. Great, great episode with Matt. That was great. So here's the deal. It's dangerous to be an expert. I think it gets in your way.
It is. So I appreciate you having me on the show to talk about ego and how ego is our enemy. And you know, it's kind of spurred off this book that's called Ego is the Enemy. But the more I go down this journey, Carm, the more I start realizing, wow, we as business owners, we need the ego to convince us to do this thing that is not impossible, but the odds are stacked against us. So we need the ego to say, hey, we can do this. We can open up a shop. We can be a business owner. We can be the entrepreneur. We can be that person. But then at some point in time, we stop listening. And I want to start out with a quote, Carm, that I think is super powerful. And it's from Epictetus. And it says, it is impossible to learn that which one thinks one already knows.
Yeah, I tell you, he is quoted a lot. And I don't know the lineage of Epictetus, but every once in a while I see a quote come over TV or it's in a movie or something like that. And brilliant, brilliant quotes to live by.
Brilliant quotes to live by. And it's the truth. So as soon as we establish ourselves as an expert, what more do we have to know? What more do we have to learn? What more growth can we give ourselves? And basically we're saying once we're an expert, there is nobody we can listen to because we know it all. And unfortunately, I think we get in these rooms, Carm, and we lose our curiosity. We lose our childlike qualities, which I believe are the core of, you know, a good business owner, a good entrepreneur, which is asking that question, why? You know, you're ever around a kid and which you are, you got grandkids.
Yeah.
Why is this? Papa, why is this? What is this? Tell me this. Explain more of this. You know, they want to know. So it's their journey of learning and knowledge and experience and challenging. But at some point in time, Carm, we stop asking those questions and we start telling people what we know versus asking them what they know.
I'm a curious guy, Chris.
You are. You have a show where you have set up a place for you to ask questions to dig knowledge out of all of us.
I will be the first to admit that I don't know everything. I know a lot about a little or a little about, I know a little about a lot, right? And that brings my curiosity. And when I started to do this and I started to study interviewing techniques, I mean, I really studied my butt off if I was going to make this thing, if I was going to become influential, if people wanted to give me the time to come on to help, you know, advance the aftermarket. And I realized that I cannot go on the show. I talk a little bit more now than I did years ago because I'm trying to set scenes, if you will, and open dialogue. I got a guy doing some tile work for me and I pop in and look and I says, what's going on there? Why is this? And tell me how you're cleaning that. And the guy says, well, you're going to do this the next time? You're never going to call me? I says, no. I says, you're just teaching me stuff to respect the fact that I never want to do it myself.
Amen. And that curiosity, I think, helps you grow and it helps us all grow. I'll point out that I'm not only in 220 groups, I'm also in a it's called a C12 group, which is another business owners group. It's Christian business owners that get together and there's 12 of them and they're all different businesses. And I'm known for the guy who asks all the questions. So somebody gives a presentation, everybody turns to me in the room and they just wait for me to start rattling off questions because I'm going to have a whole lot of questions because I'm there to learn what they know, because the more that I learn about what they know, you're absolutely right, Carm. Maybe something triggers my thoughts and I think, oh man, you know, what if I use that for the software? Or what if I use that for the auto repair company? Or I never thought of that perspective, right? Instead of getting up there and saying, hey guys, I own these companies, you know, this is how I train my people, this is all the things I do. Like this curiosity to be able to start asking questions. And a lot of times now I get up and I will say, right? I mean, you come see me present at a show or give a training class, I'm going to tell you what I know. I'm not going to ask questions. It's a different role than I'm taking. But in that position, when I can, I'm going to. There's another good book, John Maxwell book, and it's I believe it's great leaders ask great questions. And that's it. How do you phrase that question? Lean Six Sigma, the five whys. Why? It's drilling down to really get to the core of that thing that you may, that nugget, that black swan that you may or may not know, instead of assuming you know everything. And Carm, it's funny, I'll sit in rooms with guys who make $500,000 a year, which is admirable. Guys who make, you know, $1 million a year, which is admirable. And I'll sit in rooms with guys who make $50 million a year. And the guys who are making 50, man, those are some of the quietest guys I've come across in the room. And they will listen. And you wouldn't even know they're making that number because they're not telling everybody that this is what they make and all this. They're listening. They're asking questions. They're engaging. They want to know what you know. They said that about Sam Walton. When he was building Walmart, that he would bring people in and here he was on top of this multi-million dollar company. And he would ask him, hey, what do you do? How do you do this? How do you do this? And they're like, why is this guy grilling us on things he already knows about? But he was just digging for that deeper information. There was no ego there with him.
I'm with you, man. And I can't remember if it was a book I read, but I was so moved by this lesson that I got that the CEOs don't speak and tell you what to do or how to do anything. They're always asking questions. They want to find out who's got an answer, who's also on their own being a learned individual. And what happens is that these CEOs or executives go to these groups like you and they sit in the room and they listen and they learn, listen and learn. And then they go to their team and they say, so what about this social media thing that does this? Any of you guys ever heard about that? Now, he's learned about it, not everything, but it is a perfect way to let your people be contributors to your company. I know one of the things you want to talk about is you want to do everything yourself. You never want your people to do anything. I learned that lesson the hard way, man. I tell you, so hard. And guess what? They stopped doing anything for me because every time they did it, I changed it and fixed it the way I wanted to. But I never really showed them what I expected. And then you know what I didn't do? I didn't say, I wouldn't have done it that way, but I like this. It's great. Would you do it next time? My ego was getting in the way, and my leadership qualities were shit.
Correct. And so you've interviewed thousands of people now, and I've been in rooms of thousands of shop owners. And it's sad because you can't be vulnerable. You can't say, guy, you know what? There's a lot I need to learn. Because if you do, everybody sees it as weak, and you can't be the weak one in the room. My leadership skills, I'm still growing. And I tell people this all the time. I'm still learning. I make a ton of mistakes. I still read. You name it, I read it. Somebody says a book, I'm putting it on my list. I'm audioing it. I am reading it. I am consuming it. I am going because I want to learn more about, like you said, that whole structure. But I know that I'm not a great leader. So therefore, I'm not an expert in leadership. So therefore, I can seek out that knowledge and get that knowledge. A lot of times in those rooms that we sit in, Carm, unfortunately, sometimes the guy that's making $500,000, he won't listen. He talks and he says everything that he thinks he's supposed to say instead of just saying, hey, can you help me? Hey, what are you doing? Hey, maybe I don't know everything. Yeah, we've always done it this way, but I really like the way that you do this. So let me start rethinking the way that we do it. And I get around small business owners, not just in the auto repair industry. It's like I said, outside of the auto repair industry. And I will meet these guys who, they already know everything. They know it. And I'm like, how do you know everything when you're, and I'm not going to measure your stick of you're only making $100,000 a year, you know, versus the millions that other people are making. But if I'm going to measure success off of money, and that's what part of the criteria and the infrastructure that they set up, and you have one person and you're complaining about how you don't have this lifestyle and how you don't have this infrastructure set up. And if I hear this one time again, oh, I'm different. The business I run is different. It's, you know, I'm going to run an auto repair shop, but it's a little bit different than everybody else's. And I'm like, bull crap. Bullshit. We have our nuances, but let's be honest. We all fix cars. We used to talk to us. We all fix cars. We all treat customers really well. Some of us use technology to leverage, you know, communication. Some of us don't. Still good communication. But there's nothing totally outside of the realm of what we're doing. But it bothers me. And that's why I want to come on here and talk about this, is because the last couple guys that are making nothing and they're struggling, look in the mirror. And you are holding yourself back from just saying, shut up and listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. It's funny. I'm sitting here talking about ego. I've been on your show 26 times and we're talking about how ego is the enemy. And sure, you know, my mom used to sing this to me all the time. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. And I'm like, okay, Mom, I get it. But I do listen, Carm, and I do listen to your show, and I listen to your guests that come on, and I listen to perspectives that they come on. And that's why I'm in three different business owner groups, to listen to the different people, because I do have a deep desire for knowledge, because I know I'm not an expert.
Hey, Carm here. Coming up, did you know finding your who, not how, is vital to your business? Hey, it's Carm here with news about the new NAPA Smart Sign, previously known as the digital menu board. I like to think of it like a silent salesman on a TV near your service desk. It's an easy way for you to increase customer awareness of your current promotions and educate them about needed repairs and service. In other words, having a NAPA Smart Sign will supercharge your sales. NAPA Auto Care tests have shown 1 out of 5 consumers ask for a repair or service they've seen on the board, and targeted promotions resulted in double-digit increases. One auto care shop owner said, I've received amazing feedback. Customers are actually asking for additional services they see on the screen. Now that's what I call getting results. You choose the content for your NAPA Smart Sign from a library of auto care services and repair topics. The Smart Sign comes with preloaded content. Just about anything you can think of is available, from alternators and alignment to wiper blades and wheel bearings. There are over 150 topics to choose from. Templates can be customized with your location branding for a professional look. Some of the options include customer reviews from Kukui, DemandForce, or MechanicNet, live news, and even the weather. Whatever content you choose, it's preloaded for you. just as important, it's easy to change your services, prices, and video content anytime you'd like. Plus, the latest Napa national promotions are downloaded to you automatically. Of course, having a Napa smart sign gives your auto care center a professional, state-of-the-art look and feel that tells customers, I'm on top of my game. Now, that builds trust, which means recommendations are accepted more readily and customers spend more. Find out more about what Napa smart sign can do for your business. Talk with your servicing Napa store owner to find out more about the smart sign and all the other reasons to become part of the Napa Auto Care family, the largest network of independent repair shops in the country. We're not doing this just for Chris and I to expend some great breath that we could use on our deathbed someday. Oh, damn, I should have never done that episode with Chris. I'd live an extra day. No, that's not the reason. We're doing this because we really know that the top operators did find their way to get up and over, you know, the fact that, wow, I was a tech now of this and of that, and I have some limited success, so my ego continues to boost me to come in, even though I don't know what's around the next corner, and I'm not an HR expert, and I don't know finance, and I don't even know how to sell a thing. I know how to fix cars. And that puts people, if you will, in kind of, if you will, an iron shield of nothing else can penetrate it because they think they've got to hide behind that. So I say all that because this is for you if you feel you have this problem. And I want to bring up this. Ego versus self-confidence. I have self-confidence. I don't have an ego. If I had an ego, then I would invite you to listen to me to every one of my shows. My self-confidence to put out a podcast that will help and change the industry, and my self-confidence to sit across from a Chris Cloutier and listen to him is what drives me. So maybe, and I'm not saying we should change the ideas of what we're going to talk about and how do we crush ego and become smarter without it. You have to be able to say, I don't know. It's not ego, it's self-confidence to say that.
And you're right, Socrates, know thyself, right? And I can hear it, I can have it printed on my wall, I can, and knowing that, yes, you are an auto repair shop, or you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur. That's what you are. How do you become a great one, right? How do you become the best of the best? And if you're sitting there fighting everybody because you're saying, I do it different, I'm different, and you're not listening, right? Your self-confidence is probably going beyond self-confidence into a big ego and hubris. You've shut everybody out. So I agree, being self-confident is very different than having a big ego or hubris. So we can say part of the ego is that self-confidence to get into business, right? You should have that. But then going beyond that and saying, hey, once again, I'm making $500,000 a year. I'm doing good. I'm not going to knock the guy who's making $500,000. If you're netting 10, 15, and you're in a 20 group, and you're one of the ones who ask the questions, and you're you know, constantly trying to improve, and you're proving yourself, then good, you're on the. But if you're the guy making $500,000, and there's a guy making in there in making $10 million, and you're not listening to that guy when he gives you his opinion or thoughts, then you're doing yourself a huge disservice. Or if you're not in that room because you're like, oh, all those guys are a bunch of whatever, you know, they got lucky or they're not like me. Well, guess what? Every room I get in, everybody's like me. You said it, Carm. Man, we all have the same problems. Like, there's no magic ability for any one of us or some magic power sprinkled on any one of us. It's the ability to, you know, have grit and grind and work through things that little bit of insight we get people and then a lot of luck from the Lord. Talk about some people that during COVID that just got crushed, right? Great business owners, but didn't matter, right? When the government shuts you down, there's not a whole lot you can do. So I agree with you. There is definitely a difference between having confidence in yourself and knowing what you can do and knowing what you are versus having hubris and just shutting down everybody else and everything else. Got two stories of this, and I think both are very good. The first was when I worked for Kid Craddock in the morning. He was syndicated in 85 different radio shows. He was top five Dallas market, which was number three. He was number one in a number three market, which is Dallas. And I started working for this guy and I thought, man, he's brilliant. He didn't need any help. And then I see this advisor come in and he spends all day with this advisor. And afterwards he comes out and he has this list of things that he needs to change on the show. And I'm like, you're kidding me, kid. Explain this to me. He goes, yeah, this is the reason why I'm number one in a top three market. And then I rank this, and because the better I get, the bigger I get, the more I have to sharpen my saw and totally know, or sharpen my sword, my saw, and be an expert at these things. Also in this book, Ego is the Enemy, it talks about Metallica. I had to bring this up for Matt, because if Matt listens to this, because we like to talk music, but it talks about when Metallica fired Dave Mustaine. You know, they were starting to really blow up and they hired Kirk Hammett. Kirk Hammett was playing in a band called Exodus, and they kind of had made it. Metallica was on their way up. Kirk Hammett already was a great guitarist, comes through the door, and they say, "Hey, Kirk, you got the job." And instead of him saying, "Oh, I got the job, I'm done, I've made it, I'm good," he went out and he started taking lessons from Joe Satriani, which is one of the greatest guitarists ever, right? And spent 2 years taking, mastering his guitar under a master of guitar. Why? Because he knew that he had this opportunity. And in order to do that, he had to become even more of a master at what he did, which I thought were both beautiful. But we don't think about that, Carm. We think once we've made it, oh, we're good. We're done.
I just took a moment to look up the episode with Matt that he did on Metallica, Matt's episode 5, and you were on his episode 12, by the way. He says, "I'm going to do an episode on Metallica." And knowing that I've done a ton of episodes with Matt, and every time he used to always throw me a topic, I always knew somehow he was going to thread it and put a bow on it for the aftermarket. Matt and I collaborate on Aftermarket Radio Network and his show, and every once in a while he just sends me one of these weird ideas, and I said, "I can't wait to hear it," because, and to your point, how does he take, you know, the Metallica story? So I had not been a super fan of Metallica, and slowly becoming because of Matt, and I went out and I watched the movie.
Constantly wanting to improve, constantly being the best of the best, mastery, right? We get put on this earth for mastery. Whether you're a believer or not, what's your purpose? And if your purpose is mastery, if you know you're given this gift, what are you doing with your gift? Are you trying to become a master? And the way you become a master is realizing that you don't know anything about it, and that there's so much more knowledge you can gain about this thing that you could become a master at. And I think the truth is you die in that journey, but that's okay. I think that's a good journey to be in.
Never stop thinking about what could be, how to be better. I sometimes wake up in the morning and I say, "What am I going to change today?" And I'm not an individual who would do change for the sake of change, because I wanted to check a box that I changed something. If I looked at something and I said, this could be better, or I could try something different, shake things up. Every once in a while, Chris, it's fun to, you know, have a fun day at work and just kind of shake things up. And it's kind of fun to go out to a seminar that is totally unrelated to anything that we do, because you know, if you're open-minded and you're a perpetual student, you're going to walk away with one thing that you may not do anything with today, but it's going to be stored somewhere, and you're going to be able to go back and relate to that. And if you are closed-minded and your ego is telling you, you know everything, all-knowing, all-being, Oz, we know that was phony.
You learned nothing. It was phony.
By the way, the book that you're talking about, Ego is the Enemy, from Ryan Holiday, it's on my books page. But most recently, and I'm not sure if it was you or not, Chris, but The Ego is Your Enemy by Maynard McBride. I just got that, and I'm going to start reading that. He said, "The ego is powerful, but as I'll reiterate in this book, it is neither good nor bad. It isn't something to be feared or tended. It is a part of ourselves that we must learn to firmly control."
I love that. That's the balance of self-confidence and ego, right? You got to be self-confident enough to go into the 20-group room to believe that you belong there. Because I've been in different business groups and 20, you know, groups, and people will be like, "I don't belong. All these heavy hitters in here, I don't belong." And that's a lack of self-confidence, right? You belong. You belong where the Lord leads you, you belong, right? You grow where you're planted. If you're planted there, then go. Don't make the mistake of not being in that room. The mistake is when you're in that room, what's getting, and I ask this question, you know, are you the smartest guy in the room? If you're the smartest guy in the room, might be time for change to a different room, or you might change your perspective of how you act in that room, right? Because you might not be the smartest guy in the room, but you think you are. Well, how about you start listening? And you talked about feedback. You know, what kind of feedback are you getting, and what are you going to do with it? I've said this before. I think I've said it on previous shows. you know, feedback is a gift like you receive on Christmas morning. Take it, open it up, keep it, put it in your sock drawer, re-gift it to somebody else or throw it in the trash, but don't do it in front of the person giving it to you, right? You don't ever throw your grandma's, you know, knitted sweater in the trash in front of her. But we do that so much, Carm, and I'm guilty of that. I am guilty of when somebody gives me feedback and they go, Chris, you know, you always talk about you want feedback as a gift. Here's feedback. And I'm like, you're dumb. That's dumb feedback, right? And they're like, what about you listening? And I'm like, you're absolutely right. I don't have to do anything with it. You're right, Carm. When somebody tells you a suggestion or a thought, it's up to you to do whatever you want with it. But you should say, hey, thanks. I appreciate you taking the time to think about me and think about my business for a minute.
Think about shop managers. Think about COOs, GMs of our companies. They have great things to say if you let them. If you have them as engaged in the vision and the purpose of your business, you don't care to help implement some of their ideas, then you're getting in your own way. My daughter Tracy joined the company almost a year ago now. It was one of the greatest things that I've done. And she's a millennial, and dad's a boomer. And so she has shaped and changed. If I didn't say, I don't necessarily like that idea, but let's give it a shot. No one's going to die. What do we have to lose? Let's try this. And I have to respect from her particular perspective that she has a different slant on things, and it can't be all about me. How do you get someone fully engaged in your business and not let them do anything that they want to do?
So Zig Ziglar said, right, you can have anything in this life you want if you've helped other people get what they want, right? And what do your people want in your organization? They want to be heard. They want to help build the organization. They want to feel importance. They want to have value. They want to add value. This quote gets used a lot, but I think it gets misunderstood a lot. We think, oh, they need to be running their own business, or they, you know, to really get what they want, they need to be like us. No, they don't. Man, there are people in this world who are perfectly happy working for other people who are good people, who listen to them, who value their opinion, who think about, and you're right, Carm, but we get to this point where we're like, no, you know, we're just, or we get guilty about how we feel about how we treat them, or, but I think if we do, Carm, just like you did when you brought her in, you valued her, right? And you valued what she wanted to do to your operations. And you valued her opinions and her thoughts because you value her. So therefore, your show is now better as a whole because of some of the things that she's brought in, right? So you're getting more of you want, what you want by getting her what she wants, which is to be a part of it, right? And that's how it works in organizations.
Let me throw this at you. Here I'm the leader of the business and boy, I am stubborn. And let's blame stubborn on ego, okay? All right. And I have great people in my company that are coming to me with ideas, but you don't know what you're talking about. That would be, you know, no, we won't do that here. No, you're wrong. Will that kind of positioning or attitude from the leader make more egocentric people in your business, and they're going to be little tyrants over the people that they have because you're unwilling to listen to them? Their people aren't going to listen. They're not going to listen to their people. Does it flow downhill?
Crap flows downhill, doesn't it? And it always does. And I think the people in the organization, once again, whether you act on it or not, and that's the difference on feedback. Are you acting on it? A lot of times people just want to be heard. And you talk about this on your show all the time, and it's in every book. People just want to add value. They want to be heard. They want to know that they're heard. You don't necessarily have to act on what they're suggesting. They just want to know that they have input. So you're right. If you're shutting people down, then what do you expect them not to shut? They are absolutely are going to shut everybody else down. Carm, there's really smart people in this industry, really smart people, right? And there's really smart people in every industry. So I was sitting in a room not too long, a couple weeks ago, and man, there was this guy and he had built this amazing, you know, multiple shops, more than 10. I mean, the guy had more than 10 shops. He had a lot. He had all this information on how he set it up, owner operator. Just, man, this guy was awesome. But you know what? Sitting next to this guy, he didn't come across like a just a real a-hole. You know, the guy was just down to earth. He would listen. People would ask him a question. He would answer him. You could tell like he didn't have that man, look at me. I'm so badass, which I think that gets to the point of that's that controlling ego. That's that hubris that says, look, once I'm here, I'm not really paying attention. I'm not listening. And people know that and people pick that up. And I'm telling you, probably some of the greatest people in our industry right now that are probably crushing it, that they probably never been on your show, Carm, because they're like, you know, I don't need to be on Carm's show. I'm just going to keep leading by example. I'm keep doing good things for good people. And I'm going to, you know, and in that book, Ego and the Enemy, Ego is the Enemy. They talk about a couple different people that you've never heard about that were just, that have changed the course of history. And the only reason we found out was later on because of it, because they weren't tooting their own horns. Now, once again, I toot my own. I play in a rock band. I love talking, you know, in front of an audience. I love talking to you, Carm. So I love sharing. I'm sure some of the stuff that comes out of my mouth, people are like, God, what an idiot. But I like to share, right? And so that's part of my knowing who I am. I like sharing because I believe that I was shared. I had a lot of things shared with me. So therefore, I want to continue to pour into other people. That's one of my tenets and pillars that I live by.
Never stop. That's why you're such a great leader in this industry, because you are humble, hungry, and smart. And those are Pat Lencioni's keys as a team author. And Brian Bates brought that to me. And the last couple of episodes I was on with Brian, as we were talking workplace motivation and all that stuff. You can't motivate a great team knowing that people are internally motivated if you're an ego. I am always so energized by listening to my guests who bring all these great, wise words. I wrote down the word untouchable. I wrote down the word don't be untouchable. And maybe we can teach someone on this episode, because they said, well, I'm hearing you. Maybe I am a little bit like that. But wow, untouchable. I don't seem to spend time with my people, my family. I'm not listening to anybody. And again, I always grasp for simple ideas that can break through. Don't be untouchable.
I love it. I think you're absolutely right. Be touchable. Be vulnerable. Open up. I think that there's a lot of fear when you don't know, right? That's the definition of fear. We fear something we don't know. So we put up our guard immediately and we say, I know. Well, it's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, once again, I need help. You know, it's okay to go, and I want to bring up a whole nother book, but find your who, not your how, right? Go find the person who's going to help you do that. You know, but you got to first open up and say, hey, I need that. You know, I need to, man, my personal finances are wrecked. And admitting that to a group to say, you know what, I got all these other things, but I'm just going to be honest. My personal finance is a wreck. And then you find out that 10 people in the room are personal finance gurus, or they have coaches that you can go work with or everything else. But, you know, it's like, nah, you know, I'm good enough. My personal finances are good. So I'm not going to bring it up because I don't want everybody to think that I'm weak in personal finance. But you don't learn anything, right? You don't improve your life by hiding these things. So I agree, Carm, become touchable. And that's vulnerable. And that's laying the ego aside and saying, pour into me. And man, once again, Carm, I asked a lot of questions. If somebody, I don't care if they have a $100,000 business, like you said, if they're a bricklayer or they're a landscaper or they're I want to know. You got a restaurant that's doing 250. I want to know. If I get to meet the owner, I'm going to ask him a whole bunch of questions about how he's doing this, how he's doing this. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. And then if we get a conversation and then I can add value to the conversation, I certainly will. And if he can add value to me, then I'm going to take that value away from that person. But I'm going to be stripped from my ego and not say, oh, I'm some, you know, important person and I can't talk to you because there's some rule, unwritten rule that, you know, I become untouchable. And probably what spins me up is in the last couple of months, I've come across a couple untouchable people. You know, Carm, what I want to do is you have no clothes. You have to realize you're walking around naked and, you know, you got the people who are like, God, that's the best dress I've ever seen. It's amazing. But you need to be humbled, right? And you need to understand that there are people out there that can help you. And there's nothing wrong with getting help from other people, right?
So you just brought up the who, not how, and
it's a wonderful book.
I've got to talk about it. It's Dan Sullivan, And I do believe it was Barry Barrett who sent me that book. And I could not put that book down. And it was during the time, Chris, that I was making a play for Tracy and really trying to show her that she was the most important who that I could possibly hire. I think our listener has got a spark inside of them over our discussion, and that they're hearing all these key takeaways. And they may say, well, how am I going to do this? Here's your point. My finances are crap and I need to fix them. Well, you're not going to fix them. You're going to find the who that's going to fix them. And the book steers you into the pathway that you cannot do everything. You are not the single source. Again, go back to the Oz analogy. If you have a GM and a shop manager and a service manager, all of these people are your who's, but you've got to be able to give those who's the responsibility and get out of their way. Your ego will not get out of their way. They're never going to do it right on a daily basis. Every transaction could have been done better according to you. And I think not only reading these two ego books that are on my books page on the website, and so is Who Not How, those may be great ways to get up and out.
I agree. Once you realize you have the ability to learn, or you have something, then go find the who's to help. And I think, Carm, we naturally do this. I read the book too, and I was given to Greg Bunch, actually, was the one who suggested me. And I'm surprised it took so long for me to find the book, and I probably had it on my list and it finally got up to the top. But it's very eye-opening because naturally we do this. Naturally we go find other people, but the point that they drive home is just that. The things you procrastinate on, it's wisdom. Those are things you don't need to be doing. You need to go find the who. That's your ego. That's yourself telling yourself, that's not my job. Let me go find the who to do it. Even on this latest trip of, you know, weight loss, you know how many people say, I'm going to lose weight? And the first question I'll ask them is, who's going to help you? Oh, well, I'm going to, you know, go look up on the internet and, well, why don't you go get a personal trainer? Why don't you go get a nutritionist? Well, you know, that's going to cost what? What is it going to cost you in the long run if you become healthy? But we justify, oh, no, we can do it. The internet has all the information we need. No, well, sure, but we still need that who to motivate us. We need that who to help us. Like you said, the service writer, the manager, hey, I'm not a good sales guy. So therefore, let me go find the salesperson who's going to take my entity and my business to another level because I can only take it so far. And that also is wisdom. And that's an understanding that, hey, guess what? Your ego is actually getting out of your way when you're finding who's. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Those, you know, now that you said it, they almost go hand in hand. Once you get past ego, you still have self-confidence, right? You still know that, hey, you're going to fix cars, you're going to do the business, but now go find your best who's that you can to go build these businesses that you can go build, right? Don't be the end-all be-all. Don't be the Oz. Don't be don't be Oz.
I'm totally with you. I mean, you cannot be 100% the who. Okay, I'm going to go get it on the internet. So I watched a YouTube thing. Where am I going to find my motivation to do that and to do this and to do that? I mean, there are some things that we can do. Oh, I could, let me see, tie my shoe. Good, I could learn that and I could do that. But, you know, let me see, to put in a new roof. Oh, my God, you two told me this is all you have to do. But is it the best use of my time? You know, what's the level of talent that I need? What risk am I putting myself and or my team into? It's almost like, Chris, I'm so glad, you know, it's dangerous being an expert. That was the first question I asked you a half hour ago. It's going full circle to get your ego out of the way, learn to control it, ground it, and then find your who's and build your world, your organization, your purpose, your vision, your team, your culture. Get out of the way and build it.
Absolutely. Another great quote, right? And this is C.S. Lewis, by the way. It says, as long as you're proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down at things. As long as you're looking down, you can never see what's above you. So are you always looking down on your people? Are you looking right? Because you can't see that forest through the trees. You can't see all these other opportunities that you may have, right? If you're treating people and you're walking on people and you're looking down. So I think you're absolutely right, Carm. It's You have to have the ego to drive it to get there, or your self-confidence to get there. But once you get there and start getting to the next levels, you got to start finding those who's. And, you know, we talk about 20 groups. Why is a 20 group important? Because you're surrounded by other people that are going through what you're going through, but these could become your who's, right? These could help you see visions. They can help you build your organizations. They can give you knowledge in a way that you've never understood knowledge before, because you had your small little segment of the world that you understood. And then they open your eyes to a whole different way of doing things, or a whole different way of seeing things, or a whole different way of adopting new things. Once again, your choice as far as what you want to do. But I think you're right, Carm. It all goes up to, what are you trying to build? What are you trying to be a master at? What are you trying to do? Your job isn't, it's not to fix cars. Your job as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, is to have vision and to build an organization. And how do you do that? You bring in really good people. And you got to get out of the way, and you got to let the really good people do the really good things that they do, right? And it's that simple, but it's not.
Always enlightening to have you here and to hear you do the Chris rant with me. I don't know if you could tell, but I was clinging to every word you said.
You came off with some good ones. You were flying. When I mentioned who, not how, you were on fire. You were there.
And it's almost like, we connected the entire episode into that, and so many of the other great pieces of wisdom that you brought here. As always, my friend, this is number 26. I look forward to number 27 with you. If you don't do something with the great dialogue and the insights that were here, and you don't get something on your to-do list, and you don't create action plans around fixing what's wrong, the man in the mirror, right, Chris? Then you and I, we could have done something else. Maybe we could have played euchre canasta or something.
I think you summed it up beautifully, Carm. Become touchable.
Become touchable. Hey, thanks. Chris Cloutier, Golden Rule Auto Care, CEO, autotext.me. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.